Good morning, dear devotees. Oh, Lakshmimoni just held up a book. Is that the book? Oh, you got it. Very good. I'm happy you received it. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe you could hold it up to the... it's not showing up. It disappears. You have a background. Because of your background, it disappears. Don't worry about it. One of these days, I'll see it. I hope you all had a nice Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja. And I've heard some temples actually had gatherings. At least in East Europe, some temples had moderate gatherings, not big gatherings. I don't know what's happening in America. Did anybody attend, at least from those who I can see, did anybody attend a Janmashtami or a Vyasa Puja besides online? Shyamakund, you did? Uh-huh. So that means you had it in the Tuwako. Oh, very good. Very good. Mine was online. I gave a class to the devotees in New Rajadham in Hungary. And then we had a little Vyasa Puja here in Mayapur. Mayapur is on lockdown again, complete lockdown. And so we're not allowed to go into the street or go anywhere. It's starting to spread. I don't know how much you've heard elsewhere about in my situation in Mayapur, but I think that there were over 20 devotees in the temple who tested positive with antibodies, and so therefore it's impacted also locally. Some of the local villages, they are coming up with positive testing, so the local authorities are now putting everybody in lockdown again. But we had a very nice Vyasa Puja on the veranda, and there were about maybe 9 or 10 of us, and we had some talks, and we had kirtan. It was sweet. It was the first gathering of that nature since I was in New Rajadham, which is, I guess, back in February. So it's been 5 months. So even though it was a small gathering, it was very nice, and we're thinking about how we may be able to do something like that again. But I wanted to read just before I'm going to return to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I wrote a Vyasa Puja offering on Janmashtami. It's become a tradition for me. I usually write my Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada on Janmashtami, the day before Vyasa Puja. I find it better for me just to do it at the time of the actual event rather than to write it in February or March so I can get it in a book. It seems more natural for me to do it on Janmashtami, and then I read it to Prabhupada on Janmashtami, and then I give it in March for the book to publish for the following year. So if any of you read my Vyasa Puja offering that was in the book, that's what I wrote last Janmashtami. I'm not going to read the whole Vyasa Puja offering. If you want to read it, it's online. But I wanted to read something that was a part of my Vyasa Puja offering, and something that I heard Srila Prabhupada say in a conversation that he had with one professor. And it's quite profound. And of course, within the context of the Vyasa Puja, it makes more sense, but I don't want to have to read the whole Vyasa Puja. But the quote, I'll try to put it in context after I read it. Where is it? Okay, right here. This is a quote from 1974. It's a room conversation in Geneva. In fact, as soon as I got the quote, I immediately sent a message to Guru Gauranga Prabhu and told him I was thinking of him that morning because he was the one who invited Prabhupada to Geneva in 1974. He was the one that translated for Prabhupada. And he was the one that arranged all of these meetings that Prabhupada had in Geneva. So he spent part of the day looking up references for this professor. He wanted to tell me a little bit about his background. And but that's neither here nor there. But it was a conversation with the professor. He was an Indologist. I think he also studied Buddhist. And what Guru Gauranga told me, he says he was a very, very submissive man when he was sitting in front of Prabhupada. And he simply wanted to hear. And unlike some of the other people he invited to meet Prabhupada, this man was not challenging at all. And he was very keen to hear everything Prabhupada had to say. So this is what Prabhupada said in that conversation. So people are so degraded, and there is no education. There are so-called leaders. They are themselves degraded. They are themselves blind. So what is the position of the present society? It is very precarious condition. Therefore, at the end of Kali Yuga, people will be more and more degraded. There will be no more preaching. Krishna will come as Kalki Avatar, simply killing. That's all. Finished. Then the professor, he says, but they have still 4,000 years of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada, not 4,000, 400,000. So yes, the time is coming. And now the partial killing is going on. You drop this, the atom bomb is ready. You have got, I have got. I drop on you, and you drop on me. Both of us, we finished. This is going to be happening. People are so degraded. So unless one takes to Krishna consciousness, there's no possibility of being saved. There is example, that grinding mill. You know grinding mill? Professor, yes. Prabhupada, yes. And the grains are put within it. And they are all smashed. But one grain who takes shelter of the center, the pivot, it is not smashed. Similarly, the modern civilization is such that everyone will be smashed. And one takes the central point, shelter, Krishna consciousness, he will not be. Kauntiya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. So best thing is to take shelter of Krishna and save yourself. Thought that was a nice quote. In my Vyasa Puja offering, I explained that I put it into context that for sure Prabhupada wasn't a doomsayer. And although one can take this quote by itself and say, well, Prabhupada is really spelling out doom for this planet. but the point that I made, he's not a doomsayer. And because he certainly gave a lot more than that which he spoke here to the professor in the way of unalloyed, pure devotional service. And as I explained, he preached it with the ferocity of a lion. But nonetheless, this analogy is just so perfect, is that like the grinding, he said the grinding is And all the grains are put there, and all the grains will be smashed except one grain in the center. So in the center where the pivot is, you may turn, but won't be smashed. And he said, similarly, if we take shelter of Krishna consciousness, even though modern society is, and as Prabhupada, I also quoted in my Vyasa Puja offering, I oftentimes quote Prabhupada used, this is, said modern civilization is condemned. So if modern civilization is condemned, it means that there's certainly some collective punishment for somebody who's been condemned. That means some collective, some punishment is awaiting. So if all of modern civilization is condemned, there's definitely some collective punishment awaiting. And but if we take shelter of Krishna, if we use our time properly, then we don't think about these things. We don't think about these things. It's the only way. We can try to artificially not think about these things, but all of us at least have had enough years under our belt to realize that to spend time trying to not think about things is not the solution. That's what everybody else is trying to do. And if you look in a lot of the modern cartoonists, they depict what's going on in society today. I just saw a cartoon just recently from the Economist magazine, I think it was. And it showed all these men on the ground with their head in the ground. They were all on their knees with their head in the ground, like the ostrich philosophy. You know, put your head in the sand, make believe it's not existing. And that's what they do, the ostrich philosophy. We should have enough Krishna consciousness under a belt to realize that ostrich philosophy is not going to help us. It's only stopgap remedial measure. Best place is to be in the pivot, to be right in the center. Best place is to utilize our time wisely and discussing Krishna consciousness philosophy. And if we actually dedicate our ears and our tongue for hearing and for chanting in an appropriate way, which is, of course, ultimately trying to be absorbed in it, then there's no question of, you know, worrying. There's nothing to worry about. Everything is in Krishna's hands. It's in Krishna's hands. Should we say, oh, Krishna somehow is let go? And he's just, no, it's in Krishna's hands for those who are place themselves in Krishna's hands. So there's nothing that can happen to obstruct our efforts to place ourselves in Krishna's hands. And therefore we see all facility is there. That's why sometimes I get a little bit baffled when I hear, well, I'm not going to go there. When I hear these conspiracy things, unfortunately, it's like, I'm not going to go there. It's too wild. Even if there is a conspiracy, what difference does it make? Are we going to change it? But the only way we're going to change it is with our consciousness. And so let's read from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is what I wanted to, read that one quote from Prabhupada. I thought it was just so nice, the analogy of the grinder. And to find the center and not be crushed. So, where are we now? Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 3, text 184. We didn't read part of the purport from 183, but we'll start with 184, and maybe at some point we'll go back to a part of the purport of 183. Shrimanama prabostasya shrimurte apyati priyam jagatitam sukopasyam sarasam tatsamam nahi. Translation. Dearer to the Lord than even his own beautiful form, his easily worshipped holy name benefits the entire world. Indeed, nothing is as full of nectar as the holy name of the Lord. You can give me a little water to rinse my head. Commentary. In conclusion, the Vaikuntha Dutas wholeheartedly glorify Shri Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan. In conclusion is what we talked about last time. We spent a good portion of our to end on a sweet note. And because there's only one three verses left to this chapter. So in conclusion, the Vaikuntha Dutas wholeheartedly glorify Sri Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan. Sankirtan is all attractive, full with all power, beauty, and opulence. It exerts its powerful influence over anyone who takes part in it, anywhere and any time. The Lord of Vaikuntha himself is more attracted to his holy name than to his own supreme beauty. The Supreme Lord may indeed regard something as more dear than his own transcendental form. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.15, Krishna told Uddhava, Na tatame priyatama atma yonir na shankara na cha sankarshano na shira naivatma cha yata bhavan. Neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarsana, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self, is as dear to me as you. The holy name of the Lord is incomparable. Nothing else can equal or surpass it. The holy name is the Lord's supreme blessing for the world's welfare, benefiting everyone, properly qualified or not, who serves it with any of the senses. It is easily worshipped, requiring only some movement of the tip of the tongue, and it is sarasa, full of rasa, a term that can be understood in several ways. Is a lot more. I'm just going to stop here just for a minute. Om Gyanatimarandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chaksho Unmini Tamnina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vacharam Pangum Langarate Girin Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gunundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pascha Chate Sitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, again, emphasis on the holy name. And here Sanatana Goswami, or the Vaikuntha Dutas, are giving emphasis that even the holy name is more dear to Krishna than his own beautiful form. And the reason is because the holy name of the Lord is so accessible to everyone at any time, in any place, and anyone who comes in contact with that holy name of the Lord can immediately be benefited by coming in contact with any of the senses. So, of course, with the ears, with the tongue, and therefore Krishna himself considers his name even more attractive because he's more accessible in his name. And the verse that is quoted by Sanatana Goswami, Natatame Priyatama Atmaniyonya Nashankara, simply gives evidence that it is possible for Krishna to think of something or someone, in this case Uddhava, or in other places in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sanatana Goswami also explains that this applies to other devotees as well, that sometimes in Krishna's, particularly in Krishna's ecstasy, he was speaking this verse to Uddhava, but he actually applies it to many of his dear confidential devotees, and reference was given to even Prahlad Maharaj also, who he considers to be more dear to him than himself. But the point is that the evidence is there that Krishna considers another devotee more dear to him than himself and in his form, then certainly he can consider his name more dear to him than his himself or his form. And another way of looking at it is this, is that Krishna says in many places that he considers certain devotees more dear to him than himself, but nowhere will you find where Krishna says he considers someone or something better than his name, which is none different from himself. So this is another way to understand it. So therefore, Krishna very intently emphasizes the point that, and Sanatana Goswami, the Vaikuntha Dutas, also are very intently emphasizing the point that Krishna's name is even more dear to him than his form. So then he gives reasons, and I wanted to continue reading in the commentary, and then we're going to get to a specific point in the commentary that I wanted to try to place some emphasis on today in reference to Sankirtan. And especially it's in reference to Sankirtan, which is described in the previous verse. Sankirtan is always benefiting, or always befitting, whether the Lord is visible are not visible. And so let's continue to read in today's commentary. Sarasa can mean very gentle. This is a word that is used in the verse today. Sarasa, which means full of rasa, a term that could be understood in several ways. Sarasa can mean very gentle. Since the holy names consist of sweet-sounding syllables, it can also mean composed of pure spiritual substance, Satchitananda. Or it can mean that the holy names are accompanied by all the various devotional relationships, the nine rasas, headed by Shringara, Madhurya Ras. In the pure chanting of the holy names, all these varieties of Prema Ras are manifest in the moods of both separation, Viraha, and meeting, Sangha. Rasa also means attraction to Krishna, Raga, which devotees performing Sankirtan unavoidably experience as their Krishna Prema is rapidly evoked by the holy names. In other words, the Lord Sankirtan inspires his servants and everyone else to become attracted to the Lord. To different meanings of the word sarasa, which means full of ras. One is very gentle because the very sweet sounding of the name can also mean that it's composed of spiritual substance, because it's non-different from Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. And Krishna, and the whole verse is explaining how there's Nama and Nami. Krishna is the possessor of the name. Nama is his name, and many, and they are non-different. So, Satchitananda Vigraha means also the name is composed of pure spiritual substance, Satchitananda. Or it can mean that the holy names are accompanied by all the various devotional relationships, the nine rasas, headed by Shringara. In the pure chanting of the holy names, all these varieties of prema rasa manifest in the moods of both separation, viraha, and meeting, sangha. So I wanted to some very nice references. I wanted to speak about them, read them, speak about them, because there's so many references. I just chose a few, and which were indicated in the last verse, that devotees, they are always absorbed and chanting Krishna's names, whether he's visible or not visible. It's very befitting to chant his names. And of course, the point that was made is the reason why chanting the holy name of the Lord is superior, because it's always befitting whether the Lord is visible or not visible. Whereas meditation, which we spoke about last time, is not befitting when the Lord is visible, because who wants to close their eyes when the Lord is visible? And therefore, that in itself, we already discussed that. We won't go back there again. We went into great detail about the examples that were given by Sanatana Goswami of different devotees who are meditating and achieved darshan of the Lord in their meditation. And then we also spoke a lot about the example which Sanatana Goswami gave, which was of the four Kumaras. When they closed their eyes after seeing Krishna's form, it was because of ecstatic symptoms, which are sometimes manifest, that the eyes may close and one manifests some ecstatic symptoms, but it's not because one is considering that I'm going to meditate now. It's just, it's an anubhava or a sattvika bhava. A sattvika bhava is an involuntary, anubhava is a voluntary act, whereas the sattvika bhava tends to be involuntary act. Sattvika bhava means an involuntary act of, of the eyes closing. It's involuntary. It's just under the circumstance due to whatever sattvika bhava may manifest in the devotee. So that was brought out in our previous class. But the superiority is that it's always appropriate, befitting, when Krishna's devotees are with him, they're chanting. And when Krishna's devotees are not with him, they're chanting. And there are many nice examples which are given not only by Sanatan Goswami in his commentary to the previous verse, but I wanted to read some of them from various, mostly from Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is the emperor of all Shastric references. And there are many. This one, because Sanatana Goswami says, chanting is always appropriate for all rasas. And whether present, whether the Lord's visible or not visible. I'm not sure if any of you were present on Balaram's appearance day. I can't remember to whom I spoke. It was to the North American devotees or Russian devotees. But anyways, on Balaram's appearance day, we talked about Krishna and Balaram entering the forest. I think it was to the North American devotees. And we talked about what happened. An incidental event happened where they entered into the Talavan forest with the cows. And when they entered into the Talavan forest, and then they had an incidental contact with Dainakasura. And anyways, in that description in the Talavan forest, it describes how first Krishna was, this was before killing of Dainakasura. I think it was even before they entered Talavan forest, excuse me, while they were in the forest, that they were, Krishna lied down and he was on, Balaram lied down and Krishna was massaging his feet. And then Krishna lied down. And then the cowherd boys, Krishna was lying down. He was tired from fighting with the other. It says Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of the tree. Maybe it was after Dainakasura. I can't remember whether it was before or after. But he grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. And some of the cowherd boys, who are all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan the Supreme Lord. And then in the next verse, it says, and this verse is quoted in many places, Anye tad anurapani manogyani mahatmana gayantisma maharaja sneha klina dhiya sanai. My dear king, other boys would sing enchanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for Krishna. And in this verse, there's different words that are used and they have different meanings. Like sneha klina dhiya means they sang with hearts melted with love. Mahagyani means it was attractive to the mind due to the amazing ragas and melodies and rhythms. Shanai means it was slow and built up gradually and naturally. It's like kirtan. This is what the cowherd boys were doing. And tad anurupani means they would sing in a way that was suitable to the particular pastime or occasion. So all the cowherd boys, while Krishna was having his feet massaged, of course we have to take into consideration also during this pastime, it wasn't just one or two cowherd boys who were massaging Krishna's feet. Krishna actually expanded into many, many forms, and there were many cowherd boys who were massaging Krishna's feet at that time. And there were many cowherd boys who were singing his glories. And it's not just a few or a couple. you know, especially exceptional personalities who got that opportunity. So this was their sankirtan in Krishna's presence. And in the commentary to this verse, it is stated, some of Krishna's friends sang songs with sweet, gentle melodies just right for his nap time. This encouraged him to fall asleep quickly. Krishna is the most exalted of persons, graver than the combined depth of millions of oceans. But these songs fascinated him because they described his loving dealings with the gopis. And his mind was strongly attracted even to the parts of those songs that merely glorified his devotional service in general ways. The songs sung by Krishna's friends for his pleasure inspired intensified prema, which melted the boys' hearts. They sang softly, their voices choked with tears of ecstasy. From this we can know that even though pure love of Krishna arises in the course of all kinds of devotional service, it appears most quickly and fully when one performs sankirtan by singing songs dear to Krishna and otherwise glorifying his name and fame. So here, Kaurava boys, they were with Krishna. They were with him, and it was very appropriate time, place, and circumstance, as you may want to use this expression. It was the appropriate time and place for them to just begin glorifying Krishna. And Krishna, of course, was so pleased to hear their glorification. He was so satisfied. As they experienced in his presence, but they were glorifying his activities with the gopis, such as like what Mother Jasoda. She's another example of that's Sakya Ras, but then there's Mother Jasoda who's in Vatsalya Ras. She also sings Krishna's names, but it's described that she's singing Krishna's names. And when she's churning the yogurt into butter, and there's those verses from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, I'm jumping, but I thought of that. And I wanted to read that also because that's another example of Mother Jasoda in her Vatsalya Bhav. She's singing Krishna's names, but she's longing to see Krishna because Krishna's sleeping. And she's outside. And even a moment of not seeing Krishna from Mother Jasoda is very difficult. What to speak of when Krishna goes out to the pasturing grounds, that's very, very difficult. But even when he's inside sleeping and she's outside churning the butter, in order to pacify her mind, she starts singing songs about Krishna's pastimes. And this is explained in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So this is an example of Vatsalya Prem. Mother Yasoda, she's chanting when Krishna is not visible to the eyes. So here in 10th canto, 9th chapter, 1st and 2nd verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, one day when Mother Jasoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This chapter describes how Krishna stopped Yasoda from churning yogurt in order to drink her breast milk and how Yasoda put Krishna down to go elsewhere. Verse 1, he rephrases it. Krishna became angry because he was not finished drinking, so he broke the churning pot, stole butter, and was bound up by Mother Yasoda. And verse 2, how he rephrases it, The ladies of Raj poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities. Having collected all these songs, Mother Jasoda began to sing these songs in order to pacify her longing to see Krishna, who was sleeping in another room. This is her sankirtan. Krishna's not visible to her eyes, but this is what pacifies her. When Krishna's not visible, she sings. She sings about his wonderful pastimes that were poeticized by other gopis. They put it into a poeticized form, and having heard them from the other gopis, she began singing them while she was churning the butter. And this was her sankirtan of how she could experience her longing for Krishna. That's another example. There's several examples. Another example, I want to go back to Vatsalya. Excuse me, I want to go back to Sakya. And because there are very nice examples also given and spoken by Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu. And Jiva Goswami is also, he's speaking. In the first section of Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami he's giving a description of Vrindavan. And in very wonderful descriptive verses, he's describing all the different, the beauty of Vrindavan and the devotees in Vrindavan and the pastimes that take place there. And then after he's going to begin with the very appearance of Lord Krishna. But first he's describing Vrindavan in the first part. And in that description, he says that Lord Krishna attracts the hearts of the pious. Anyone who meditates on Lord Krishna's birth, his protecting the cows, his singing charming songs with the gopas, and his other pastimes, will find himself overcome with bliss and love. Aha! How can one hold back a heart that yearns to see the land of Raj? Its palatial trees anointed with dust, raised by the cows, dust fragrant like camphor, its days filled with young calves, and its evenings filled with surabhi cows that defeat the sweetest fragrance, the pasture lands of Raj give to every heart 100 memories. At sunrise and sunset, pulling back the calves, milking the cows, collecting the milk, taking the cows into the barns, meeting with Krishna, singing songs of Krishna's pastimes, and shedding tears of love, the cowherd boys, the hairs on their bodies erect, fill my heart with bliss. Always filled with the chanting of Lord Krishna's glories, the pathways of Goloka attract my heart. Ram, Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Here and there on the pathways of Goloka, one may hear the people chanting these names as they come and go. So here's Jiva Goswami's description of Vrindavan and how he is perceiving how the cowherd boys are singing Krishna's names as they're going with him to the pastures. And that's another example. And there's another very nice example, of course. This is example not only applies to the gopis. The gopis were feeling very intense separation. And as described in the previous purport, is that the gopis were chanting Gopi Gita when Krishna was separated from them. And then the gopis were also chanting Krishna's names in the rasa dance when Krishna was present. And these examples were given in the last purport that we didn't read, but I mentioned it in the last purport. But this example is when Uddhava is sent to Vrindavan. And when Krishna, when he sends Uddhava from Mathura to Vrindavan, as we know, Krishna was in Mathura, Vasudev Krishna, and he's sending his confidential friend. We talked about this on Janmashtami. We talked a little bit about Uddhava, and Uddhava's his very distinct and confidential relationship that he had with Krishna. That Krishna oftentimes called on Uddhava to perform confidential service for him. And because Uddhava was a very dear associate, and even from childhood, we were giving the example, Uddhava, even when he was 5 years old, he was meditating on Krishna's childhood pastimes as a five-year-old boy, and he fashioned a deity of Krishna, and he was worshiping that deity. And even when his mother would call him to come, this is described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, when his mother would call him to come, he was just so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna that he wouldn't answer the call to come and to eat breakfast, honor prasadam. He was just so much absorbed in his worship. And then it's described how confidential Uddhava was of a servant for Krishna, that Krishna, when he had some confidential service to do, Uddhava was always very eager to render it. And although, in fact, it's described also in the Bhagavatam that Uddhava always relished being with Krishna, he relished it even more when Krishna gave him a service to send him on some mission. He considered that even better than being with Krishna. And that's also described in the Bhagavatam. I believe maybe third canto. But anyways, so Uddhava was sent by Krishna to go to Vrindavan because, of course, he understood that his devotees in Vrindavan were feeling great separation from him. And in fact, he had an indication that they were on the verge of giving up their bodies. Now, of course, as we know, the gopis, they're on the verge of giving up their bodies, but what keeps them alive is that they know if they gave up their bodies, it would cause Krishna suffering. So that's what keeps them alive. But nonetheless, Krishna, he also feels great separation. And we talked about this before, that how Narada Muni was glorified by Krishna when he reminded Krishna about the gopis. He reminded Krishna about his devotees in Braj. And when Narada Muni was feeling embarrassed by the fact that he put Krishna into so much pain and separation when Krishna was lying in bed and with tears on his pillow, he was crying, and because he was thinking of his devotees in Vrindavan. And Narada Muni was thinking that he put Krishna into that situation because he started the whole discussion about Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan. So he thought he was to blame for causing Krishna so much pain from that those feelings of separation. But Krishna told him afterwards when he invited Narada Muni to come back and said, Narada, why are you so embarrassed to come in? Please come in. Don't you know that anybody who reminds the one of those who are most beloved to him is most dear to him. You have done the greatest service, so please do not feel embarrassed for putting me in that state. You've done the greatest service. And he also gave him the benediction that what you have done to me, may you travel throughout the whole universe and do it for everyone else too. Because that's the greatest. There's nothing greater than to put the devotee into such feelings of separation from those who love Krishna the most, and to see how much Krishna feels such separation from those who love Krishna the most. This was Krishna's benediction that he gave to Narada Muni. This is the end of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Krishna was thinking this way. He was thinking how much suffering his devotees were experiencing. So he spoke to Uddhava, and he gave some instructions to Uddhava, and it's only a small part of Uddhava Sandesh. But again, it's about the sankirtan of the names of the Lord. And what the Sankirtan of the names of the Lord did for the gopis. And so in Uddhava Sandesh, Krishna is telling to Uddhava, after I had killed Kamsa in front of everyone, I had spoken sweet and gentle words of enlightenment to Nanda Maharaj and sent him back to Vraj. Taking my name, you should very gently and respectfully surrender at his lotus feet, saying, Krishna offers his unlimited obeisances. Next, taking my name on your lips, offer my full obeisances to the lotus feet of my mother. I am her only son. She is thus feeling unlimited pain and has become very skinny. She again and again raised her finger, cursing Kamsa. You have taken my Krishna away, so you will be destroyed. She, Mother Jasoda, is always singing my names. In a deep mood of separation, she takes long, slow breaths. Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna comes from her throat. She becomes bathed in her own perspiration and her body withers while tears gush from her eyes, soaking her clothes. She stares intently at the road to Mathura, waiting for my return. We discussed also before, you know, how sometimes these visible symptoms may appear on the devotees, but we should not mistake them as actual suffering. If you want to hear those details, it was a whole class back, and it's coming. It will come out in volume 2, Nectar of Lockdown, which is already being worked on, and I think a lot of the everything from May and June has been transcribed, and most of it has been partially edited. Anyways, it's coming, but it won't come as quickly as volume 1. But we discussed it a lot there. But there's more. There's more to this. So Uddhava went to Vrindavan, and this is from 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Uddhava remained there for several months, dispelling the gopis' sorrow by chanting the topics of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Thus he brought joy to all the people of Gokul. So this was Uddhava Sankirtan. Uddhava was chanting in front of the Nanda Maharaj, the Soda, the gopis. Commentary. When out of sorrow, the gopis' hopes for Krishna's return grew dim, and they became eager to give up their lives, Uddhava made them happy by speaking yet other messages even more confidential. That is the significance of the word after that. Though Sukadeva Goswami has not explicitly described those messages, one can understand them by the results they had on the gopis. Krishna said, this is the message. Uddhava speaking this message. Oh, you who are as dear to me as life, while you are standing before my messenger, Uddhava, just close your eyes, just as the cowherd boys closed their eyes and were delivered from the forest fire. Close your eyes, and I will deliver you from the devastating fire of separation. Witness my mystic power. This is the message. Hearing this, the gopis closed their eyes. In a flash of a second, Yogamaya compressed millions of years of time into a single moment. Krishna then appeared on that spot and in the company of the gopis enjoyed the rasa dance in the Vrindavan forest, playing dice, drinking honey liquor, water sporting, and swing pastimes. It was all compressed. Actually, Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary, this is Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, but Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary, he explains that what happened is that when Uddhava was chanting, he was performing sankirtan, he was chanting Krishna's glories to the gopis, they experienced spurti. And as we explained previously, spurti for a siddha, for a perfected soul, spurti is real. It's real. And we gave the example, we were talking about on Balaram's appearance day, how the cows were experiencing spurti of Krishna behind them. Although the cows had wandered off deep into the forest, but because they had spurti of Krishna behind them, for them, Krishna was right there, so they didn't realize they had wandered off deep into the forest. Because they are also siddhas, perfected souls. So they had spurti of Krishna. So the gopis are experiencing a spurti of Krishna also in this sankirtan of Uddhava. And hearing this, the gopis close their eyes, and in a flash of a second, Yogamaya compressed millions of years of time into a single moment. So they were feeling separation. Yes, they were feeling great separation. Krishna's in Mathura. They were thinking this way. But then when Uddhava started singing the sankirtan to them, singing Nam Sankirtan to the gopis, what happens? They enjoyed all these pastimes with Krishna. Uddhava paused a moment and then said, "Now, ladies, open your eyes again." Opening their eyes, the gopis felt that they had taken a new birth through the bestowal of a thousandfold bliss as when they had closed their eyes. Recognizing Uddhava as non-different from Krishna, they then worshipped Uddhava. Krishna said, "O women filled with prema, if you give up your upon hearing this news, don't doubt it. Swearing a thousand times, I declare that you are my very life. Even though I am trying to go to Braj at every moment, I am unable to do so. Perhaps I am being kept here because the time of the endeavor is not right, or else because the love the Mathura Vasis have for me is an obstacle." By such messages, the gopis' fever of separation caused by their thinking that Krishna had no love for them was completely dispelled. Thinking that Adhoksaja Krishna was afflicted by the pain of separation like themselves, or else thinking that Krishna was their very life, the gopis then worshipped Uddhava. The gopis said, "O Uddhava, you have spoken well. Now even at the cost of suffering the greatest pain, we will remain alive. If you had not given this message, we would have certainly died, and everything would have been destroyed. Therefore, by saving us, you have fulfilled our desire to protect everyone involved, and thus we worship you." So that is another example. In fact, that is the gopis. Same thing happened when Uddhava spoke to Nanda Maharaj, and when Uddhava spoke to Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj also went into ecstatic feelings of separation of Krishna, and which was another whole kirtan, that took place of in separation, in viraha. So these are different examples which Sanatana Goswami has given of course, then there's the Brahma Gita, right? When Uddhava went to Radharani, Brahma Gita is Radharani Sankirtan of the song of the bee, and also in her feelings of separation. That was all of them that we covered. Brahma Gita, the song of the gopis, Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan. These are all different examples of how superior it is and how befitting it is whether Krishna is present or not present to glorify his names, Harinam Sankirtan, Because he's always present in his names. He makes himself accessible in his names. And when Uddhava was singing those names to the gopis, of course, for siddhas, the gopis experienced the whole rasa-lila as Yogamaya shrunk down everything to experience Krishna's presence. For siddhas, yes, that may happen. For sadhakas, well, we may have to wait some time. But the sadhakas should be aspiring to become more absorbed in the mood of the eternal associates of the Lord who are sadhakas, who are also feeling such feelings of separation, you know, such as of Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, and his prayers, which he's described in Vilap Kusumanjali. You know, we should understand their internal mood. That's their siddha form as Raghunath Das Goswami, because he's both siddha as a servant of Lord Chaitanya, and he's a siddha also in his form as Tulsi Manjari and Rati Manjari. They're both siddhas. But to make the service to Lord Chaitanya accessible to us, he's siddha in his sadhaka form. So we should not try to become, to imitate him in his siddha form as Rati Manjari and Tulsi Manjari. But he's come to teach by his example in his sadhaka form and his feelings of separation. And in this way, this is how, by rendering service to Lord Chaitanya and his associates, then we can become qualified to someday be able to approach Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. But if we try to bypass Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's associates, then we can never approach Yata Yata Gaura Padara Vinde, as Prabodhananda Saraswati describes in his beautiful prayers, that to the degree that one renders service to Lord Chaitanya, and we should understand what is Lord Chaitanya's inner mood, satisfying his inner mood, and to render service like his confidential servants do, such as Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, to render service to Lord Chaitanya, they render, to that degree, one becomes qualified to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. This is how we approach their pastimes in Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya has so kindly instructed Sanatana Goswami to give us these wonderful scriptures, shastras. Sanatana Goswami, who is also Siddha, perfected soul, eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, and who has given us these teachings in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And specifically, as he's ending this chapter so beautifully on a sweet note about the sweetness of Sri Harinam Sankirtan, which is what Lord Chaitanya came to make accessible to everyone. So there's more. I didn't finish the purport for today. We'll finish the purport on Monday, and probably we'll finish the chapter on Monday as well. And today we'll just chant some japa. It's Saturday. I'm assuming, being Saturday for those in North America, I haven't disturbed your time that you have to go to work by speaking too long. So we can chant japa now for about a half hour, and then we'll end. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Short announcement before we end. I mentioned what I know about the Nectar of Lockdown book that's been published. I know that the advanced copies reached at least some of them, devotees. Dira, did it reach you yet? No, it didn't reach you yet. It reached Lakshmi Moni, it reached Nityagaur Sundar. Anyways, and it's also been shipped. Yadubar, did it reach you? No. Well, any day it should be there, because some devotees had already, it got sent out at the same time. So it's been shipped to mail order. If you want to order it there, you go to niranjanaswami.com. I think for individual copies, it can be ordered there on niranjanaswami.com. And I think some devotees have made bulk orders directly from Sri Radha. And I believe those orders are going to be fulfilled soon. And it's been printed in Europe. So they are available in English. Will be available in English, and they'll be shipped in English in Europe. And they've been printed in India. So if anybody's in India, they'll be available in India. I think they've already been printed. I don't know when. I don't know any of these details. It's also done in soft copy for an EPUB reader. I think it's done for Kindle and others. That's been done for a while. When it's going to be released, check on niranjanaswami.com when it will be available there. But I don't know all these details. But niranjanaswami.com will probably have it. And although for most of the devotees, in Russian, it will be available soon in Russian. And I think it's going to be soon. But how soon, I don't want to say, but I don't want to put false expectations out there. But as far as I know, the final editing is being done right now. Lakshmi is already there for it to be printed in Ukraine. It'll be printed in Ukraine. And it'll be available through mail order. That's volume one. Volume two, I don't know anything about. So that's my announcement. Please stay safe. Please stay in the middle of the grinder. And make sure that's the safest place, as Prabhupada said. If you're in the middle of the grinder, you won't get ground. You won't get smashed, Prabhupada said. That's the safest place to be. So, I guess we'll see you on Wednesday. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurava Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.